of friends. And I just have to say, there was a bunch, a community of friends here last night for a wedding that I want to tell you, I put my head on the steering wheel and cried. I was so proud of what a community of friends will do for one another. So those of you that were here, you know, I was just, thank you. So this is my last one, and one of the last points we talked about with doing a community, having, being a part, why it's so important to be a part of a community. Now, yes, church, like YCF, and yes, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you could also take that more so small groups or small fellowships and stuff like that, so you can do that. But the last part, and I got to watch this in action this week, and I was like, yes, I'll tell you what, we got this. The last one that I shared last week is you fight. You fight. When you're in a community, you fight for the people in your community. I saw it this week. I was like, man, these guys just blessed me. I just saw it. And the reason why we fight for one another is because Satan goes around like a roaring, seeking whom he may pick off, take to the side, pounce on him. But when we're a part of a community, where eyes are watching him, we just come a running and throw that lion out of there, all right? So that was my last weekend. Today, we're going to talk about unfriending. Now, if you do not have Facebook, if you do not are not on Facebook, just raise your hand. Okay, now keep it up. Those of you that are, you need to sit next to them because this is going to go. Okay, Jackie, move closer to Miss Shirley. She didn't know what she was talking about. Who else doesn't know? Lane, you know what we're talking about, though. Who really doesn't know? Oh, someone sit with Dave Siegel, Stanbaugh. Where's your buddies? Okay. Come on. He won't. It'll just go. All right. Someone sit with him. All right. For all of you that are just, I'm not doing it, that's okay. Because it really takes, it really is a time waster. But let me say this now so you can jump in. For those of you that are on Facebook, have you ever clicked unfriend? Okay, now, why do we click unfriend?
We don't want to hear their negativity.
Yes, or their inappropriateness, or their annoying ranting and raving that you've got up to your eyeballs. Okay, now don't look at anybody, look straight ahead. So finally, how many of you again have clicked unfriend? All right, do not point to the person here that you clicked unfriend, okay? Matter of fact, I was ready to click unfriend, and Sherry yelled, don't do that, they'll know. I say, what, you're pressing the wrong button. So I'm learning. So if I unfriended you, just cover me and think, oh, she didn't know what she was doing. Because chances are that was right. But listen, to click unfriend, to unfriend, this thing is jabbing me here, sorry. Can you imagine just walking up and going, unfriend? Unfriend. You know, we do that. And the problem about that is I think we actually cheapen the way we look at friends and do friends. Okay? Now, for those of you who don't have Facebook, okay, get with them this week because you will go, that's pathetic. Dave Stanball, sit down with, who's in your group that does that? Who does Facebook with Dave's group downstairs? Get with him. You will go, oh, Lord, pray for him, okay? Okay, if you don't do Facebook, you really have to have someone sit down because you'll go, oh, my. Okay. So, again, I'm going to say, and listen, Facebook has been wonderful. It has got some great things, and you can have 450 friends, but we also found out just because you have 450 friends that like you on Facebook, it doesn't mean you have any, maybe one, two, three, close, intimate friends, all right? So this whole friend thing, it's kind of got, it's cheap, all right, because of that. But if you Everybody, that's me. That if you are a wholehearted follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, put your hands up. Okay. You will have to sometimes, if you want to keep being a wholehearted, passionate follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, don't unclick them. Unclick. You'll have to redefine your friendship. Okay? Now, if you've been as young as I am, and you've had four kids, you will have a whole lot of stories that do this. But now, it's going to start a little negative, but I tell you, it ends with the ice cream and the whipped cream and the cherry. Okay? So lock the door at them. Don't let them out. They got to stay for the whole thing. All right? Now, the last 3 weeks, our key thought is, and you can say it with me, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Let's say it again. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. In other words, today I'm going to talk more. Show me the people you hang with and that you are closest with, and I will guarantee I'll show you the path of life you're taking. The path of life you're going to take if you're not taken. Whatever. Okay. All right. So, King Solomon, that was our key scripture, Proverbs 13:20. It said, walk with the wise and then you'll be. All right. I like that wise. All right. And then the second part says, a companion of fools will be in trouble. In trouble. Life comes out badly. So if you've got companions of fools, your life is, will be, continue, come out badly. Such as, in other words, let's see, if you're hanging around with the real wise bunch, guess what? You're going to get wiser. If you're hanging around a bunch of dumbbells idiots, you are going to become a bigger dumbbell and idiot. Okay? And think back over your life or your kid's life. Oh, man, I can tell stories. And most of the time, though, when I got into big trouble, little trouble I could do by myself, but big trouble, it's just more fun to do it with other people, right? So when you got into trouble, big trouble, you were not alone, all right? Because when I got into trouble, I was with the wrong company. And they definitely had the wrong influence, and my behavior became very wrong, all right? Now, I'm going to give you a scripture. Turn over to Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12, 26. The righteous should choose his friends carefully. What should the righteous choose? Friends carefully. And yet, last week or the week before, we talked about most of our friends happened by accident. We were on the same school bus together. We had the same class together. We were soccer mothers, bleacher friends, okay? So listen, this says, though, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, all right? Now, anybody remember not choosing your friends carefully? Oh, man, okay. So, the righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. So if you got some wicked, guess what they're going to do? Lead you astray. Do life not too good. Poorly. All right? Because, what's our motto? Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. And the wise, if you walk with the wise, you'll become wise. All right? So, now, if you're taking notes, write this down. This is your new refrigerator scripture for the week. Take the old one down. Here we go. I only wrote this like 5 times till I liked the way I wrote it. Okay, so write this down. It's impossible to live the right life if you have the wrong friends. It's impossible to live the right life if you have the wrong friends. Matter of fact, it's absolutely impossible. Absolutely impossible if you want to be honoring God in your life and you have a bunch of dishonoring, unhonoring friends. You got friends that don't honor squat. You're hanging with them. You're not going to honor God. Okay? Turn over to 1 Corinthians. I'll give you another good scripture. 1 Corinthians 15, please. All right. 1 Corinthians 15, 33. All right. 1 Corinthians 15, 33. This is Paul who writes this. Paul's been around the block a lot. His life did not start out, well, he thought he started out real good, and then he just went down. And then he had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, and God just used him, just amazing things. So I think he's worth listening to. How many of you agree? Kind of worth it. All right, so 1 Corinthians 13, 33. Do not be deceived. Evil companions corrupt good habits. Amplified says, do not be deceived or misled. Evil companions or communions or associations corrupt and deprave good manners and morals and character. Now, it's so funny. I thought my mom wrote that. I thought she was the author of that. She told six kids that, something real close to that, since we were real little, especially when we were picking wrong. So I found out it was Paul. All right. So why do you think Paul says, do not be misled? Do not be deceived. Why do you think? Because it's real easy to be deceived. It is real easy to be misled, deceived. All right. Like right now, some of you are probably thinking, oh, this message doesn't apply to me. Do not be deceived. Keep your ears open, all right? You're probably thinking, oh, I'm better than that. I always, you know, so what if my friends are a little sketchy? None of that will happen to me. Do not be deceived, okay? All right. So, do not be misled, deceived, bad company, corrupts good character. All right. Because, show me your close friends, and I'll show you your future, the path you're walking in, right? All right. Now, it seems pretty black and white. Do not. All right. And yet, the Bible's got a whole bunch of other scriptures, and I'm going to toss them at you. I'm trying to make your head spin, but I got the answer, okay? Take, for instance, Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our example, right? Say amen, Pastor Dave. He's my example, all right? And yet, Jesus was a friend of sinners. Ah, okay? So, do I stay away from the sinners? Stay far away from them? Or do I reach those kind of people? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? All right? So, now the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked. All right? It's pretty black and white. Wouldn't you agree? All right? So, it's got that. And we're also told that we are the, okay, think about that. We're also told we are the light of the world. So, let your light shine before men. I got one that says this. I got one that says this. So, what do? I know. We just stay away from those kind of people. You wouldn't be here if that's really what happened, right? Okay. So, we got some questions going. Do we avoid those kind of people who are going to tempt us, and we run away from them, or are we the light? The answer is yes to that, and yes to that. Yes. Yes, and yes. All right, so I want to look at the yes, yes, all right? Yes, we need to be very careful, because we are the righteous, and we need to choose friends carefully. Yes. Okay? We need to choose friends that will influence us good, great, wise, right? All right. And at the same time, you listen to this. You can't let your heart grow cold and just shut off those kind of people. All right? You cannot do that. All right? So what do? Okay. This is what I believe. I'm going to give this, and I got some scriptures here I'm going to throw at you, okay? If you are committed, wholehearted followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, Those people that you have around you, the, I'm going to call them the inner circle, the core, all right? The core meaning you've got 3, 4, 5 of them, all right? In your core, who have the most influence on you, need to be committed to who? Yes, all right? So, principle number one, you have to have a core. You have to have an inner circle, okay? And don't just get one, because they might be flaky some days, okay? Get a bunch, all right? All right, so you have to have a core of people that surround you, that are committed followers, strong, okay, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they help straighten you out. They help keep you committed. They help love you and correct you. That's why you have to have inner circle, the core. All right? Now, in second grade, it's pathetic. I remember my kids, I'm not in the clique core, and I'm not in that. I'm talking to you big people now, okay? This is serious, all right? You do need this, all right? So, when you surround yourself with the right people that are committed, wholehearted, on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous, the God chasers, guess what happens? Your spiritual roots start growing down deep and strong. All right? And then your reach gets wide and broad. All right? Picture that tree, okay? I'm not going to, the branches, okay? Come on. Really, the best example, and I'm not going to read it. Go read Psalm, write your notes on this, go later. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that does not keep counsel, and his root shall be planted, Okay, I used to rattle that off at my kids when I used to tell them that I wrote the scripture, not Paul. Do not be deceived, okay. All righty, so. When you surround yourself with the right people, the righteous people, you can then go into the dark places, all right? Because they're not going to influence you, all right? So, but if your inner circle, your core is not made up of the righteous, all right? They're not made up with, and listen, I'm not passing judgment, okay? But God gave you a brain. You can figure this out. But if your inner core is not made up of the righteous and the right people, wow, okay? And that, you know what happens? Your roots are not deep enough that you can have a wide reach. Your roots are not deep enough. They're not strong that you can go and have a wide reach. All right. So you have to have, number one, a strong core. Number two, your roots then have to go deep. And number three, then you can have a wide, broad reach. All right. Turn over to Proverbs 22. Give you another one. I love this. I've been hanging out with Proverbs. That's why you got this for like 2 months. I really started a year ago when someone, you probably all knew this, someone said, gee, there's 31 Proverbs. And if you read one a day, you can have a whole month. I was like, oh, that's so easy. Okay, so I took the challenge and I've been, you know, trying to do that and going, oh, wait a minute, it's day 13. I have to go read Proverbs 13. So that's why this happened here. But anyway, Proverbs 22:24, you know, I just get excited. Proverbs 22. Nope, I'm at 12. Let me go. 22, 24, and 25. Make no friendships with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go. And here we go. Lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. Oh, my. Oh, my. In other words, it's saying, hey, don't associate with these hot-tempered, angry people, because guess what? You're going to become like them, all right? So, because show me your friends that you hang with, and I'll show you your future, your path, all right? And also, the other part I said, you cannot live with the right life with the wrong friends. Oh, you can. Let me tell you. I did about 21 years of it. You can. But boy, it gets painful, all right? So now, if all your friends are bank robbers, drug dealers, and stuff like that, it's kind of obvious right now that you need what? Different friends, right? Okay, that was so plain. Thank you, good. All right, but for most of us, just possibly there's still some influences close that may need some redefining. Not unfriend, okay? That's pathetic, that's bad. But we may need to redefine them. So that's what we're going to talk about. But the icing on the cake is really good, so hang in there. All right. Such as, how about if you have some incredibly negative, critical, criticizing friends that you hang with? Anybody? Okay, and every time you hang with them, guess what happens? I start becoming more like that. All right? So, and it's not what God wants, because I'm not going to hit the plans of God if I stay like that. All right? So, I might have to redefine that friendship. All right? So, how about if you've got some friends that are introducing you to some wrong values, and you can figure out what they are? Wrong values. Values that opposed to God. They're opposed to God. Wrong values. Guess what? You might need to redefine that relationship, all right? I'm not going to click unfriend, but I need to redefine it, all right? So, let me give you two things. Write this down here that we're going to do. We're going to write two things that we will never do, and then we're going to do one thing we're always going to do. So, number one, two things that you never let your friends do. Two things that you never let your friends do. Two things you never, never, never let your friends do. Number one, distract you from the plans of God. Okay? That's simple. Now, Jesus ran into this. I just love it. Okay, he had a core. Who was Jesus' inner circle? There are three of them. Thank you. You can yell that out. Three core. And Peter was one of them. All right? Now, Peter has lots of good intentions. Very passionate guy. All right? And just after Jesus starts explaining to, actually, his disciples, his 12, and the core is there, he's saying, listen, guys, I'm going to die. And I need to die for mankind and for you, but I'm going to come and live again. And Peter goes right away, no, that's not my plan. You can't die. I got this thing figured out. You can't die. You have to live. Turn to Matthew 16. Tell you what he says. Matthew 16. Probably y'all know the first part real good. Matthew 16:23. You can't die. You're going to be king. You got to live, all right? So what does Jesus say? To all of Peter's good intentions, but distractions. Get behind me, Satan. Listen, if you ever would like to get somebody's attention, just yell that. Get behind me, Satan. You will have your kids' attention. You will have your people's attention, all right? Okay, just a side little golden nugget for your life, right? So Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. You are in my way, for you do not have the mind of the things of God, but the things of man. Get behind me, Satan. Oh, Peter, all right? You know why? Because, Peter, you are trying to distract me from the plans of God. Peter, you're trying to distract me from the plans of God, all right? Now listen, I don't know your group of friends, all right? But maybe they're all good people, right? But how about every time you say Saturday night, hey, I'm going to church tomorrow, you want to come with me? All right? And they start going, are you kidding me? You went last week. Come on. Once a month is good enough. Maybe you need to redefine that group of friends, all right? How about you're going to home group on Tuesday night at my house, ladies, all right? And your friends, or prayer And you're heading out, and they go, "Where are you going?" "I'm going to pray. We have a prayer time at church. Man, we're tearing down strongholds. We're calling in the glory." And they're like, "Are you kidding me? Tonight's wing night. Come on, we're going to go to wing night. How cheap are they? What, 10 cents a wing? I forget what that is. All right, come on. You don't need. You prayed last week. All right, maybe you might have to redefine your close circle of friends, all right? Now, just like Peter, they might be trying to distract you from the plans that God has for you. And you know what? It makes me cry. I'll suck it up. I can do this. It's not only the plans that God has for you. It's the plans that God has for you, for the person and the other person and the other person. So you are not just distracting me from the plans. It's bigger, you guys. It's the plans that God wants to use you to touch others. So you might have to, don't unclick them, but redefine how you do friends, all right? And listen, you might have a group of good old girls and guys, and they just have lots of fun, but they're consumed with fun. Now, I have to tell you a story. We went to one of Joy's friends' house. What was it? I forgot. We were having a meal together, and I was a stranger, and they were this core group at Lauren's house. And I'd met a couple, but I'd never got to meet the whole group. And actually, they do family night dinner every Thursday night. They've been doing it for 8 years, this core group. And so they invited me to come, and hey, it's food, I'm coming. And they have good food, okay? We get there, and they're all talking about fantasy football. Fantasy football. Raise your hand if you know about fantasy football. Oh, the rest of you, please fill them in what this is, okay? Now, actually, no, just a wee bit to not look so dumb. Okay, so, but I knew smart enough to just keep my mouth shut because I couldn't really. Okay, so I knew what a fantasy football is. Thank you, Tom Medwin. Got me, explain that to me. But what happened is this core group, that's all they talked about the entire night. Yeah. And listen, they're rocket scientists, this Lawrence group. They're engineers. They got PhDs. I mean, they're not just little boys playing toys, okay? And I just thought, Lauren, you might have to redefine this group a little bit. Because it was old fast. And now listen. So I kind of asked her later. I said, "Hey, what's all you guys talked about?" And she goes, "Oh, well, we're just getting excited. And the season hadn't even started." This was back in July. I was like, "Oh, shoot." So anyway, that was my interpretation of being a little consumed, all right, and you might have to talk to them. All right, now, let me give you an example. After I got born again, okay, after I became a Christian, and I became a Christian while I was over at York College, about 20, 21, I had this figured out. Okay, now, was it really interesting? I had a good friend, and I did not know her till after I got born again. And as I got to know her, she was knocked down gorgeous. Gorgeous, gorgeous. And she meets Jesus big. You know, those passionately committed, turn your life around on a dime. And because she was drop dead gorgeous, she always had boyfriends. And she was telling me the story. She says, "Dee, I've had a boyfriend since I was like 10 years old." And about then, we were about in our 20s, 21. So she had this always. And she said, God led her to quit dating until. I was like, "What?" Okay, so I watched this, and then I finally said, "Why? Why?" She says, "Because those were the distractions in my life that kept my eyes covered, that I couldn't see and I couldn't hear. So rather than, and listen, she would have no trouble getting dates." She said, the Lord had led her. He didn't lead me. I was always looking for a boyfriend and a date, okay? And mercy, okay. So the Lord had led her, and she did. Later on, she got married. She's happily married and all that good stuff. So don't feel sorry for her, all right? Now, but I will say, question, if you're dating somebody and they are distracting you from the plans God has, you may have to redefine that, all right? You know, You might have to get rid of and dump, you know. Okay. So, number one, I will never let my friends distract me from God's plan. Never, never, never. And number two, I will not let my friends tempt me to sin. Sin. Now, Joseph, you know the story of Joseph? His brothers, his darling big brothers, sold him into slavery, but the favor of God was on Joseph's life. Who remembers that story? Okay? And God gives him the supernatural favor. He becomes the head of the household of Potiphar, and he has favor. He's just being blessed. He's being a blessing. He's being blessed and all that stuff. But Potiphar's got this wife who decides he's pretty hot and very much attracted to Joseph. So one day she grabs him by his cloak or coat or whatever, and he takes one look and he starts running. Run out of Dodge City, boy. Out. Fast, 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 right? Okay? Because he was not going to let anything tempt him to sin. And you know, this thing, that could have gone on, and old Mr. Potiphar may not have ever found out about if they had a relationship that opposed God's standards and values. But Joseph loved the Lord, and he knew the plan of God that he had in his life, that he said, no, this is not going to tempt me, and out, run, 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 run. So let me give you some examples. Ladies, how about if you're hanging around with the Bash'em, Smash'em husband group? Every time you get together, you bash them and smash them about your husbands. They're no good. They can't do good. You wish I could kill them, but we can't. Ugh, can't stand them, all right? You might have to walk in and say, hey, this is not the place that I need to be, and you too, and I need to be. And if you say it one more time, I'm just out of here. I love you. I'll be your friend, all right? Or guys, okay, now I've heard this, okay? Guys, you know, you're hanging out with your guy friends, and every time a girl walks by, woo, baby, did you see the beef on that one? Woo! All right? And that's all they do. That's a hot babe. That's a 10. Woo! All right, okay. If that's all your guy friends are doing, you need to speak up and say, hey, listen, the babe in my life is the one at home, and my eyes only stay there. And listen, guys, I might have to just quit coming to the gym with you because this is not the, you're tempting me to sin. Let's just be honest. Tell them you're tempting me, and I don't want to get thrown into temptation, all right? Can I tell you a real quick story? Totally, just so I feel good. So we were taking my sister Liz, who's 10 years younger than me, to York College from New Jersey, came to stay with me to York College. By then I had, what year? Okay, if I was, okay. I think, how many kids did I have? I think I only had 2 kids. So I was in my mid-30s. So we're walking past, back then they had all boys dorms and all girls. Boys were on this side of the river, girls were on that. So we're walking down Liz, we have to cut across the boys' dorm, and some guy yells out the window to me, beef! I was like, oh my gosh, this is wonderful! I felt so good! All right, so you know, when you had 2 babies and then I went and had 4, I was just sort of uplifting. All right. Okay, all right, how do we get you on here? All right, praise God. Now, I'd wash your mouth out with soap if you did that. But anyway. So. Alrighty. How do I do this? So, I'm not going to let my friends tempt me any way from what God has for my life. Alright? Now, again, there will be seasons in your life you're going to have to redefine some of your friends. Okay? Right after I got born again, I had to redefine every single area of my life, all right? Because all my friends, we had one common denominator. Sin! We did it together, okay? We did it together before, during, after. We just did sin together, and it was quite fun. Pastor D, yes, sin is fun for a while. And then, man, it'll yank you by the foot and just take you to hell, all right? So it was fun, and it was starting to get closer to hell, all right? So I got saved, okay? Then I got saved. I did get saved. after that comment, all right? Okay, so I got saved, but I had to redefine every single area of my life. And I'll remember this Home Bible Fellowship is where I met Jesus. The head of the group said, "Dee, you got to get rid of all your friends." I was ticked, stormed out of there, didn't come back for like 3 weeks. How does he think he is telling me I need to redefine my friendships? Such wisdom. And I was so dumb. Okay, now, I eventually did. It took a process of redefining every area of my life that I had people in, all right? And the proof is in the pudding. I will tell you, life is gooder, better, wonderful, all right? It is, all right? So, because, listen, the righteous choose friends carefully, all right? And I had to really, guys, I had to replace every inner circle. And there were some times it was a little lonely, but Jesus is my best friend. Okay? And praise God. So, number one, I will never, never, never let friendships distract me from God. Number two, I will never, never, never let them distract me. I just said that. Tempt me to sin, okay? Distract and tempt, my two ones. Now, let's get to the good part. But I will, I promise, I promise, I promise, I promise, write this last one down. I promise I will never stop loving people unconditionally. I promise, you got to write this down. Listen, if I just gave you the first two, you know what happens? You guys become so holier now, thou, bunch of snobby Christians. Been there, done that, okay? Because if you don't get this last one, this is the icing on the cake with the cherry. If you vow that you will always love unconditionally, always love unconditionally. Now, because when I love unconditionally, okay, and my roots start growing deep, all right, and I'm strong, and I love unconditionally, then I start reaching people, wide, big, broad, all right? So everybody say that. I will always, always, always love unconditionally people around me, all right? Now, I just wish the church would stop being so judgmental and critical. Did you see the way they treated me? Oh, they're just acting. Did you see the way they acted? Now I'm talking about church people talking about people that are not believers. I can't believe. Oh my gosh, you see that hoochie Gucci outfit she's got on? It's not Gucci, whatever, you know? All right? And you're just having a fit. Well, of course. Why does that surprise you? They're the world. They didn't sign up yet. And they are performing wonderfully. 10, 100, all right, on their paper. They're the world. My job is to love them unconditionally. Love them and give them the truth when the Lord says you have permission to open your mouth. But like Michael said, you live it. You live it and it'll reach broad. All right, so number one, the last one, I will never stop loving people where they are. And when we love people where they are and stop getting ticked, they act like this, they smell like that, they did this, okay? You stop that. You love them where they are. You love them out of the love of God, which, by the way, you're a Christian. You love them out of the love of God in you, the grace that empowers you to love them unconditionally. Guess what? God just starts working. God just starts working. So that one day, you have a story to tell. One day, my story is to tell. Sherry just loved Amy in high school. Amy, I didn't know this till about a couple months, this kid coming every night to my kitchen. Amy was a, what do you call, a witch worshiper, a Wiccan, wicked, what? How much I know that stuff? A Wicca? Thank you. I didn't know that. Duh, Dee, did you just see the way she dressed? I really can be in La La Land a lot. Okay. I did not know that for a while. And we made it a target to love Amy unconditionally. The end of the story is Amy met Jesus. She also happened to marry this Christian who is so wonderful for her, okay? That's a story. I always tell you the story about the Benders and the Holloways. The Benders lived on this side of the road. The Holloways lived on this. The Benders were Christians. The Holloways were not dysfunctional. And they loved and they loved. Knocked on the door, gave them pies, just loved. Well, the Holloways have met Jesus gloriously. Everybody got saved. Just wonderful, 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 okay? You'll have a story to tell if you make it your number one. I promise, I will love people unconditionally. Okay? Now, I know lots of you do have stories. They may have stories of just, you just love people in there. You just loved them in. You loved them in. How many of you are still loving them in? Yes, I still have a list. I'm loving them in, all right? So especially, holidays are coming. Make this your first, okay? Okay, that you will unconditionally love the non-believers, the relatives, right? You'll love them. Listen, treat them with dignity. Isn't that a funny thing? Treat them like they're somebody special. What was it? Last year we had Bev's, Alicia and her brother who's in the Marines. And you know what he said after he spent Thanksgiving with us? And we're a hoot, aren't we? All my Cashmen say this. He said, "Wow, Miss Bev, I've never been around a bunch of people that had fun and weren't drinking the whole night." Yeah, there you guys. And I thought, we loved unconditionally. We kind of had a burp over a few words that were flying, you know, but it was wonderful. All right, love unconditionally. All right. So, in closing, you are not of this world anymore, but you are told to go into all the world and love unconditionally. And we do not let the world disrupt the plans God has for us. Don't get distracted. Don't get tempted in their sin. That's a yes, all right? But you need to be so filled with this kind of love that you just love them. That's all I can say. Because then you get John 13. Last scripture, John 13. Closing scripture. Sure, Pastor D. It is. It's my last scripture. John 13, 34. Red letter. Guess who's talking? Jesus. John 13, 34. A new commandment I give to you. What's the new commandment? Oh, yeah. Love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all men will know that you are my disciples. How come? Because you've loved unconditionally where they're at. You didn't get sucked into their life, but you loved them, all right? Now, surround yourself with an inner core that are strong and committed, and then your roots will go deep, your reach will go wide, and you will be a light to the darkness, and you will bring and you will shine people to the Lord Jesus, and you might have this never-ending story of what your life did. Amen. Okay, bow your heads. We're going to pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you that your word is transforming us, and I pray, Father, that this word just sticks to glue to our hearts, that we'll be wise and not fools, that we will love unconditionally. And listen, I know that this might have been uncomfortable for some of you, but it's time to redefine some of your close, intimate circles. And it's obvious. It's obvious, right? But you know what makes my heart just really go, whoa, is those of you that you don't know it's obvious, that you're deceived. And I just ask that you would ask the Holy Spirit when you have time alone, Holy Spirit, do I? Why? Me? Have any inner circle people that are just tempting and taking me and distracting me, right? Because be not deceived. Amen. Now, with eyes closed, if that's you, you're going, well, yep, I got to redefine a couple of those. you just raise your hand. I've got my eyes closed, but you raise it, your hand to the Lord, to heaven, and say, yes, Lord, I've heard your nudging. I will respond. I thank you that you'll give me words. You'll give me wisdom. I'm not going to click, unfriend, and shut doors and faces, but you'll give me the words and the boldness and the strength to redefine the friends in my life, all right? And if any of you have just forgotten about the last, the greatest, is that we love one another, you just go, oh, raise your hand, say, God, that's me. I've been so judgmental and critical of people. Oof, forgive me. All right. Now, with hands down, I want to just also wrap up with this. Maybe you've listened to this message today and you'd say, wow, I haven't done life in a right way at all, Lord. God, a matter of fact, I'm speechless. I don't know you. And I'd like you to be my friend. Because listen, folks, Jesus will be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He will never leave you and depart. He will never judge you and throw you under the bridge. He will love you. And if there's anybody here today, you have not asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins, to be your Savior, to be your friend, to be Lord of your life, just raise your hand and I want to pray for you. Anybody? Okay. Anybody? Okay, folks. You're all good. Everybody good? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's thank Him. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you that you're transforming me, and we are transforming the world. Amen. All right. Go say hi, because you're the friendliest bunch, the friendliest church in York County. Do not let anybody sneak out unless you say, hey, how you doing? Come on. And then say, hey.